We Got the Geek is recorded before a live studio audience.
News team, assemble!
All right, it's Jay Stu. I'm here with the lovely Sarah.
It's always lovely. I can take that. It's okay. Yeah. Hi.
Glorious Sarah.
The glorious Sarah.
Okay, no.
We're also here with the one and only Wonder Librarian, Danielle.
Oh, the one and only. What's up, guys? How's it going?
We're here at Articon,
yep.
Which is having a fantastic day.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to be standing here with two awesome voice actors.
Looking around.
They're looking around.
Oh.
We're here with two great guys, two great actors. We have Ivan Sherry and, of course, Toby Proctor with us. How's it going?
Hey, things are good. Hey, how you guys doing?
Not too bad. Lots of questions for you guys because I've been boning up on your IMDb.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
We'll start with Ivan because we're just meeting you for the first time today. Definitely you were the voice on the latest incarnation of Inspector Gadget.
I am indeed.
Yeah, that's a huge honor. I'm so excited about that. So I was just going to ask, so who is your voice acting idol? Do you have one?
You know, I don't know if I really do. I mean, as so many of us did, I grew up watching cartoons back when they were only on Saturday mornings, really, or before school, which is, as so many people tell me, when they watched Inspector Gadget and how Inspector Gadget was responsible for them missing the school bus and being late.
Well, he was always on in the morning, that's why.
Yeah, weird.
Early
but, you know, I guess if I go back far enough, it was probably my dad who, you know, when he would read me stories before bed, he would do different voices for all the characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably where it started for me, and now it's very cool because I do that with my son, who's three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And he often will say to me, "No, not that voice, Daddy. Another voice." So, you know, I'm already getting criticism from my three-year-old.
Now, was it at all intimidating coming in after Don Adams did the voice?
You know, it was Don Adams obviously was first, and then Maurice LaMarche.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So another legend. But we were very fortunate in that when DHX Media put out audition notices and things, they've always been very respectful to the original series. That's very important to everybody that's involved with the show. But we were asked to do not so much a voice match, but to make it our own, but within the parameters that were created by the original voices. Because, I mean, you can't go anywhere. You have to stay in that realm with these characters. You know, you can't do Dr. Claw and have that voice not be what it was originally, you know, or something very close to it. So we were fortunate that we had some breathing room. But as much as possible, we've all tried to be as respectful as we could possibly be to the original actors. And in Gadget's case, Maurice LaMarche as well, who knew and worked with Don Adams.
Oh, wow.
And it's quite obvious that, you know, when he did his Gadget, that it was, you know, it was Don Adams, you know.
And I'm a huge fan of Tara Strong. What was it like working with her?
You know, it's interesting. Tara is the only one of us who she patches and does all her stuff in L.A.
Oh, okay.
She's the whole show is Canadian. Tara is from Toronto, but she's been down in L.A. for years and, you know, has voiced so many people's childhoods. And so I haven't. I would love to. She was actually, I'd love to meet her. She was at FanX, Toronto. She was at FanX Expo, I think, last year, right around the time that we launched the show on Teletoon, and we were all kind of hoping there'd be an Inspector Gadget launch or something, but, you know, not everything comes to fruition. So, one day.
Cool. Now, Toby, last time we talked to you, you were saying that we were asking about your different roles. You were saying you're probably always going to be remembered most for Tuxedo Mask.
Yep.
Are you, like, surprised that it's become such a giant hit? People are still talking about it all these years later?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Look, it's a really weird thing to basically do anything, whether it be voice acting or any job for that matter, and have someone tap on your shoulder 20 years later and say, "Hey, you know, wow, that's awesome." Like, that's so crazy because no one should assume that type of success or you know, notoriety of any sort. But, yeah, it's strange. It's strange. And I've been lucky enough to go pretty much around the world. I've been as far as Australia that way, Malta that way.
Wow.
And, you know, people, to go to a country where you've never been before, but they know who you are before you get there, that's really freaky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's humbling, too. It's
There's no way to describe it other than fortunate, you know. Yeah.
Definitely. I wanted to ask you the last time, what was it like voicing such a legendary character like Flash Gordon?
Oh, nice. You know what? When I was hired for Tuxedo Mask, a week later I got hired as Flash Gordon as well.
Wow.
So I went from having never done an animated series character to having two leads within a week of each other.
That's awesome.
So that's lightning striking, and that's never going to happen again. not that type of succession,
right.
Yeah. But it was, it was a really an amazing thing because I got to basically do Tuxedo Mask in the morning and then go across the street to a different studio and do Flash Gordon in the afternoon.
Nice.
And I did that for about 6 months of my life, I think it was two or three times a week, whatever it was. But it was, it was kind of neat because, you know, everybody's like so excited that, first of all, you have the Sailor Moon thing that everybody's talking about, and then you also have this whole other series, Flash Gordon. So, yeah, it was nothing short of amazing, and again... will it ever be replicated in that fashion? I don't know, but yeah. That's great.
So I just want to say, because we were talking sort of off podcast about the Hanna-Barbera experience that you guys had.
Yeah.
Can you just sort of summarize what that was about? Because it was a really cool story.
Well, it was Christian Potenza, who is with us today. I know you guys know him. It was Chris McClain on Total Drama and Jude in 16 and a host of other characters that he's done, but Christian was contacted to host, I think, the opening ceremonies of the Toronto Animated Arts Festival this past April. And they had three guests, three sort of guests of honor. One of them being Eric Goldberg from Disney, who was responsible for The Genie and Aladdin, amongst a host of other things that he's done in his illustrious career, but also two of the early animators for Hanna-Barbera, Willie Ito and Tony Benedict, and they all flew into Toronto, and they were, the guests of honor. And so, I don't know whose idea it was, but...
Yeah, I don't know either, but at some point, we were involved.
Yeah.
And we just say yes. So basically, we were asked that they were going to be doing... It was kind of like an homage to Hanna-Barbera as they had the original animators there, and they had an idea of having some voice actors, turns out it was us, to live dub an original, I think it was the pilot, one of the pilots, that they it was called Yaki Doodle. And
it was early, I think it was like the early or mid-50s that this episode was done. And, and I don't know how many, I don't think they did an awful lot of episodes of it, but they there were three characters.
There was the fox, what was his name?
It was Yaki Doodle, who was like a duckling, right?
Yeah.
That was you.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, that's the nickname that we have for Toby is our little duckling.
Untrue.
And then Christian was somebody the fox, and then I was Wally Gator. Who was this Alfred Hitchcockian alligator who just sort of commented on the action a lot. And so we live voiced. They played the cartoon on a big screen in front of the opening night invited guest audience. So it was people from animation studios,
something like that. They projected it, and then we watched it. But the thing is, when you dub stuff, at least you have cues in your ear. We had to go bare bones, so we did it over and over to kind of be able to watch something absolutely without sound. And they also had Hank. What's his name?
Washboard Hank.
He did the music and the sound effects for us.
Oh, wow.
So it was a very kind of rootsy kind of way to do it. But it was, it was very exciting, nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm. And amazing.
And amazing.
But to do it for those guys was...
Yeah, but exactly. You're voicing something that they wrote and already did for real.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, wow, that's like trying to do Jerry Seinfeld stand-up for Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, okay.
In a way.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys did awesome. Oh, wow.
Wow, that's incredible.
I have a question for Ivan. You have done also voice work for video games, Assassin's Creed and everything. What's that like in comparison to just doing a voice for a cartoon? Is there any differences? Is there a lot of similarities? Or
there are some similarities for sure.
Yeah.
But doing voice work for video games is more taxing and a lot different than any other kind of voiceover that I've done. I'm fortunate that I've worked on, I think, 10 games so far. So Assassin's Creed Unity, Syndicate, Watch Dogs 2, Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, Splinter Cell Conviction. And it's really, really tough work because you generally walk into the studio and you get your script. If you get there 15 minutes before your call time, that's when you get your script. So there's no advance notice. There's virtually little preparation. And you have to make all your character decisions on the spot. And you're playing a ton of different characters that occur in all different parts of the game that aren't necessarily related to anything. And you have to make instant character choices, make instant decisions, instant characterizations, accents, dialects, with virtually no notice.
Oh, wow.
And so you can have hundreds of lines.
Yeah.
So there's no preparation apart from being as mentally prepared as you can be and making sure that your voice is warmed up, which is a must in any field, but particularly in video games, because if you have a 4-hour call, say, for instance, that last hour will be what they call barks and oh-no's, and those are the things where the little screams and yelps and call-outs, and then you're getting stabbed or shot or you're drowning or you're on fire.
Oh, wow.
And so for an hour, virtually, you are, all those things that you hear in video games, there's somebody in the studio doing all those sounds.
Right.
So you'll get, direction like, okay, you're getting stabbed in the upper thigh. You need a short, a medium, a long. So you do that. Now it's like you're stabbed in the arm, and you think, well, surely it's going to be the same. But no, you're doing it for the upper thigh, for the arm, you're getting stabbed in the stomach. Now you get your throat cut. Now you're drowning, and you're doing that short, medium, long. So, and then you're on fire. So you're on fire for 3 seconds, you're on fire for 7 seconds, you're on fire for 10 seconds.
Yes.
So you're doing this, and you're literally, that last quarter is usually when all that, luckily they save it till the end, but it can shred your voice.
Right.
Because no matter how well-trained your voice is, if you have theatrical training, if you're speaking from the diaphragm, that's not how people die.
Yeah.
If you're on fire, from what I understand, you're on fire. You're screaming from your throat.
Right.
And video games are so realistic that if you don't go there, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound realistic. And people that play games won't buy it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't mean they won't buy the game, but they won't buy it.
Hot.
That's very hot. Ow. Oh, my thigh. It just doesn't. You've got to go there.
Big bucks.
And it's incredible.
How realistic that was?
But in fact,
that's good.
The Actors Union in the States, as of Friday, have gone on strike with, I think it's 11 video game developers, because they're trying to renegotiate the agreement between them and the union, and they've been trying to do this for a couple of years, and they're not coming together.
Right.
So a lot of it is to do with this. It's to do with vocal stress, because it's such a huge concern, because with a 4-hour voice call, or even a 2-hour voice call some days, you can't audition the next day for something else.
Right.
Your voice is shredded.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much training you have, it's tough.
Now, on top of that, does doing motion capture add to that stress? Because you're doing more physical things with the motion capture on top of the vocal.
No, you're not doing the same vocal stuff. You're not doing the stuff you do in the booth for voiceover as you are when you're doing a performance capture. Performance capture, I liken to being like 5 years old and being in the park and, you're an astronaut. So when you're a kid at five, when you're pretending to be an astronaut, you are an astronaut.
Right.
You're envisioning everything. Because there's no costume, there's no sets. You know, if you have a prop, it's a piece of wood or it's a pool noodle or something.
Right.
So it all, the imagination is enormous.
Okay.
I love it. It's a beautiful chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy doing motion capture more than I enjoy being on camera.
Oh, wow. Now, follow up about video games to Toby. Have you ever done video game voices, or would you like to?
I have not done video games in a long time. I actually got in on video games years ago, and in fact, I was in...
Weren't you the original Miss Pac-Man?
I was not. I just looked like
saying.
It. It was typecasting. I was at a convention in Alabama 2 years ago, and it was for Sailor Moon, and someone was bringing by some stuff for me to sign, and then some guy put down this little CD case and said, could you sign my DVD? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I had Mega Man's 2 on it. I'm like, yeah, okay. And he could tell by my reaction that he didn't know what I was looking at. He goes, well, you're in it. I'm like, what? And he goes, and I played a character named Glide in Mega Man 2.
Oh, my God.
And it was back in the day where a lot of the times they would put paper in front of you. You didn't even know who you're reading it and what you're reading it for. Like, well, you got a gig. Like, great, what is it? Okay, sure. I'll do these lines and out it goes. So I actually didn't even know I was in a video game.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Until this guy put this thing in front of my face. I'm like, that's crazy. So apparently I had done video games. I just didn't know it yet.
Yeah. Mark Hamill actually talked about that in the panel because he's the Joker, right?
Yes.
And he was talking about, like, oh, yeah, you know, I've done all these things. He's like, he talked about his kid saying, oh, there's a cat in this show. Dad, I think you're the cat. And he's like, oh, I didn't remember doing that. But it's just like, because you're just doing the lines, right?
Yeah, it seems impossible, but it's true. Like, there's a lot of jobs that I've done that I have no idea what it ended up being. So, yeah, and I think there's a few more. There's a few more PlayStation games that I played. I think it's two twin crazy things that I was in, but nothing current. I have, you know, there's a
Oh boy.
We're getting dog bombed in here. Hope you're not going to exterminate.
I think we're all going to be exterminated.
Okay.
I think, too, when you're talking about the guys that are down in LA, whether it's animation or video games, you know, some of them have done, like, Nolan North and Troy Baker done, like, there are 300 video game titles.
Yeah.
How can you remember everything you've done? You know, or Tara. Tara's got, I don't know, 400 credits on IMDb.
Yeah.
And that doesn't explain, that is not her whole breadth of work. It's not all on there.
Yeah, I have a buddy of mine, Yuri Lowenthal, who's a huge voice actor in LA. Same thing. I think he has 340 credits. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's talented, so I get it, but there's no way you can remember everything you did or what it's for.
It just isn't that volume of work up there.
No.
A toy just got exterminated.
I think we have some Dalek wars going on.
Oh, dear.
Very good, R2.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I think there was just a droid duel.
Things you don't see every day.
No, I know. Not in real life.
You've got to be here to see it.
Toby, I noticed you have a credit coming out for something called Merry Matrimony. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a Hallmark film I did. It was Jessica Lowndes, who was on 90210. She played the lead, and I played her best friend, one of her best friends in it. And, it was a Christmas movie. I don't know if they're going to be re-airing it. They aired it for last Christmas, actually.
Oh, last Christmas, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could be re-airing it just because of how amazing it was. But, I was huge, as Donald Trump would say. It was a fun experience. It was, you know, it's a Hallmark film, so everything's good. Like, even the murderers are nice.
Oh, nice.
That kind of thing. Like, no one's really bad in the Hallmark territory.
Yeah, there you go.
But it was a lot of fun. And Jessica Lawrence, she was a sweetheart. For the new 90210, for someone with that type of fame, she was really level-headed.
Oh, that's cool.
And a great singer, too, honestly.
Excellent.
Yeah. Much like Ivan. And Ivan's going to sing us out of this intro. I'm joking.
Sing our way out to the interview.
Just joking. He loves to rap. Go for it.
Well, I was going
to put him on the spot.
I was going to put you guys on the spot and see if maybe you could give us like a one line, like your favorite quote, like in your voice.
From Carrie?
Yeah, if you could. Just like one little line.
Sure. I believe the R2s are having a scream off.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say for Tuxedo Mask, I would say,
hey, Meatballhead, what are you doing here? I thought for sure you'd be over there with your friends, especially since you're acting like total fools.
There you go. And then, Ivan, if you wouldn't mind stepping up to the mic here.
Inspector Gadget is always on duty.
Yay.
Very nice. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Pleasure.
Thanks
good
for talking.
Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, great seeing you, Toby.
Nice,
nice meeting you, Ivan.
Great
seeing
you, Toby.
Thank you very much. Have a great rest of the con.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.